And with that action taken by the British government, I think that the time should not be far distant when a survey has been made by my department and consultation with Great Britain that the rationing will be abolished.
Senator Hayes.
Mr. President, I desire to direct a question without notice to the Minister representing the Minister for Commerce and Agriculture. Does the Minister know that the fat lamb industry is being developed in Tasmania on very sound lines, that the quality is equal to the best Canterbury lambs, and that the industry is capable of indefinite expansion? Will the government see that Tasmania has a direct representative on the proposed meat board?
Senator J.M. Fraser.
Mr. President, in reply to the Honourable Senator, I'm not aware of the contents of the question. I will direct that to the Minister for Agriculture and Commerce, Mr. Scully, and obtain the information for him.
Senator Arnold.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask a question without notice to the Minister of Trade and Customs. I'd like to ask the Minister, sir, has his department carried out any investigation as to the shortage of cigarette papers and whether the manufacturers are holding any stocks? Secondly, I desire to know from the Minister whether there is any contemplated increase in the price of cigarette papers and whether that has any bearing on the present scarcity.
Senator J.M. Fraser.
Mr. President, it is true that there has been a grave shortage of cigarette papers. I think it could be readily said, Mr. President, after an investigation by the department, that that is due entirely to the lack of female labour. In view of the shortage in Australia, I place an embargo upon the export of cigarette papers for the time being. Also have issued licenses for the importation to make good the necessary amount necessary for the smokers of Australia. I'm pleased to say too, Mr. President, that the people concerned, that is the cigarette paper manufacturers, have instituted in New South Wales and in Victoria, opened up factories in the country, which will, I have no doubt, in the near future, help the position.
Senator Gibson.
Mr. President, I desire to ask the Minister representing the Minister of Commerce and Agriculture, well, I think he has a reply to a question that I asked some time ago in relation to the meat contract between Great Britain and the Australian government.
Senator J.M. Fraser.
Mr. President, on the 28th of June, Senator Gibson referred to certain questions which he had asked in connection with the long-term purchase agreement for meat with the government of the United Kingdom and prices related thereto. The answer to his original question on the 5th of April, 1945, was a very lengthy one, and after consultation with the Minister for Commerce and Agriculture and with the Clerk of the Senate, the replies were furnished to the Honourable Senator by a letter during the recess. I would suggest that instead of being critical of the action taken by my colleague, the Honourable Senator should have expressed some appreciation for the information furnished, as it involved quite a deal of research and the collection of considerable data. However, as intimated to the Senate on the 28th of June, 1946, I had arranged for the answers to the various questions to be incorporated in Hansard. It now appears that the Honourable Senator has not been able to fully understand the information which has been furnished to him. In his further statement, in the course of which he attacked the Commonwealth Government on the basis of incorrect assumptions, he is seeking the explanations which he apparently is unable to work out for himself. The Honourable Senator was informed in the replies to the questions that the Commonwealth Government is the purchaser on an FOB basis of all meat for export under the long-term purchase arrangement. This agreement has been acclaimed by producers throughout Australia, and yet the Honourable Senator refers to a fictitious profit which he claims occurs between the time the meat is placed, FOB, in Australia, until it's handled wholesale on behalf of of the British government and the United Kingdom. It should have been very obvious to the Honourable Senator that if meat is sold, it will be by the Commonwealth Government to the British Government, which in turn is the shipper, buyer and distributor of the meat. Profits, if any, would accrue to the Government of the United Kingdom. He will note, however, the words, if any, as it is highly improbable that the Government of the United Kingdom, which is entrusted with the huge task of feeding the population of the United Kingdom, would willingly make profits out of the purchase of meat from Australia, New Zealand, or any other supplying country. I regret that the Honourable Senator should have raised this matter. He has already been told, in reply to his questions, the whole position in regard to the purchase arrangement. He has suggested that from the meagre details which he furnished to this chamber, he has sufficient evidence to prove that the producer is not receiving what he is entitled to. I deny this charge and challenge the Honourable Senator to prove it. The meat producer of Australia has not only received from the Commonwealth Government the returns to which he is entitled under the long-term purchase agreement, but also the additional returns made possible by the government's recent action in purchasing at wholesale ceiling levels, the exportable surplus of meat in the several states of the Commonwealth, instead of allowing this meat to find its way into export at a lower contract value.
Senator Tangney.
Mr. President, I desire to direct the following question without notice to the Minister for Health and Social Services. Is the Minister aware of the fact that since the passing of the Hospital Benefits Act, that numerous private hospitals have raised their fees by 2 guineas, the actual amount of the Commonwealth payment, which therefore doesn't benefit the patient and so defeats the purpose of the legislation?
Senator McKenna.
Mr. President, I am aware that in certain cases price increases have taken place. In each of those cases, that has been done with the full authority of the Prices Commissioner. It's recognised by my department and by the Prices Commissioner also that the purpose of our legislation, which is to give a benefit to the patient, might easily be defeated if that position were not watched very carefully. And I can assure the Honourable Senator that there is very close cooperation between my offices and those of the Prices Commission to ensure that that does not happen. The few cases, and I think they are not numerous, in which those increases have been authorised, have taken place only after very close investigation, and I think in almost every case, the increases are due to the fact that there have been increased costs for nurses in the matter of salary and other charges. As I mentioned in reply to a question from Senator Nicholls just a moment ago, in South Australia there were only 16 increases approved. I feel, Mr. President, that the Honourable Senator may leave it to my department in conjunction with the officers of the Prices Branch to see that there is no abuse of the position.
Senator Macdonald.
I would like to direct the question to the Leader of the Government as representing the Right Honourable the Treasurer. In view of the importance to the domestic economy of Australia in the provision of full and productive employment and towards establishing further Australia's overseas credit, especially in the dollar field, will the Minister give his wholehearted support to my representations to the Right Honourable the Treasurer towards encouraging the maximum production of gold in Australia? Towards that end, and to compensate the industry in some measure for the increase in production costs, will the Minister assist by advocating the abolition of the selective Commonwealth Gold Production Tax and expedite the early return to the gold fields of all mining machinery impressed by the government for war purposes?
Senator Ashley.
Mr. President, I realise the importance of the production of gold in Australia in regard to our economy, and more particularly in regard to provision of dollar
exchange. It is not a usual question to be asked of a minister to disclose government policy as regard to the intention in reference to a tax that has been imposed. And if I remember correctly, this tax was imposed by a UAP government, of which the Honourable Gentleman is a supporter. He now comes along and asks me here today whether I am prepared to disclose government policy in that regard. But I would say to the Honourable Senator, like the other people of Australia, the gold producers, the miners, and those engaged, and the mine owners engaged in the industry will be well looked after by the present government.
Senator Clothier.
I'd like to ask the Minister representing the Minister of Transport a question. One, in view of the urgent necessity of overcoming the breaking gauge problem at Kalgoorlie, will the Minister of Transport again take up with the West Australian State Government the question providing for the construction of a standard gauge railway from Kalgoorlie to Perth as soon as possible? Two, in his discussions with the West Australian State Authorities, will he emphasise the importance of the defence aspect of this work?
Senator Collins.
Mr. President, in answer to Senator Clothier's questions, I should like to say that this matter is receiving the very earnest and continuous consideration of the government. It is not one of those matters which can be discussed today and disposed of tomorrow. The necessity for this work is realized very distinctly, and I can assure the Honorable Senator that no avoidable delay will occur in giving effect to the final decisions arrived at.
Senator Herbert Hayes.
Mr. President, some time ago I raised the question, the Minister for Supply and Shipping, drawing attention to the acute shortage of tonnage between Tasmania and the mainland. The Minister, in reply to my question, then stated that he was hopeful in the near future additional number of ships would be placed on the Australian coastal trade. I'd like to ask the Minister whether he is in position now to say whether any additional ships have been added to those trading on the Australian coast, and if not, when may we expect additional tonnage to relieve the acute shortage now prevailing?
Senator Ashley.
Mr. President, in answer to the Honourable Senator, the question of the service from Tasmania to the mainland has been under consideration, like the other coastal services of Australia. And I think the Honourable Senator realises, as the government does in my department, that under the heavy call during the war on shipping, the great loss in tonnage, that a fairly good service has been provided for Tasmania under the present conditions. I would point out to him, as a matter of fact, that there is a greater amount of produce and goods being transported from Tasmania during the last 3 years than there was in the pre-war period.
That speaks well for our production.
And it also speaks well for the government that's been in charge in this country during that period. It is intended within the next few months to return to the trade in Tasmania, the Taruna, the Tulum, the Ormiston, and the Delamere for a short period. But whilst I realise that the water transport is the only means of transport from Tasmania that can look after that state,
a detrimental effect upon the housing program in Western Australia, I ask the Minister, will he confer with his colleague and endeavour to have shipping space made available?
Honourable the Minister, representing the Minister for Supply and Shipping. Mr. Speaker, in reply to the Honourable Member for Perth, I will confer with my colleague, the Minister for Supply and Shipping, with regard to the matter he has raised, and I am quite sure that my colleague will do his very utmost to ensure that shipping is made available to take this hardware to West Australia.
The Honourable Member for Heffley.
Speaker, I have a request to address the Right Honourable Prime Minister. Is the Prime Minister aware of the reported intention of the Victorian Government to seek from the Commonwealth a guarantee of steel supplies for a projected scheme of steel housing in that state? And secondly, can in fact the Commonwealth Government give any such guarantee while coal and steel industry and other heavy industries in New South Wales are continually involved in industrial disputes and stoppages?
Right on over the Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask that the Honourable Member put that question on the notice paper so that I can give him a detailed reply. Mr. Speaker, I move the standing orders be suspended to enable the Minister for Air to make a statement.
Yeah, yeah. The question is that the standing orders be suspended in order to allow the Minister for the Air to make a statement. The Honourable Member for Warringah.
Mr. Speaker, I object to this course being pursued, sir, because, well, if you'll permit me, because it's far too often the occasion in this House when question time is used for the purpose of making statements which are pure propaganda. And the result is that there is no opportunity given to this side of the House to debate them. If the Minister is prepared to move that his statement be printed and enable a debate to proceed, but I object to the time of the House being taken up, as it frequently is, on statements made by ministers during questions.
The question is that the Right Honourable the Leader of the Opposition,
Mr. Speaker,
the second suggestion made by the Honourable Member for Warringah is one which I urge upon the Minister for Air. I gathered from what he said that he desires to make a statement in reference to certain allegations which have had wide publicity.
And in which questions were asked.
Oh yes, I'm not at all quarrelling with the making of a statement because the matter has been raised in the House. But I do suggest that the Minister would do well if, having made his statement, he moved that it be printed, because this matter is not in the nature of it a matter which is necessarily concluded by one statement. There may be honourable members on both sides of the House who desire to take some part in a discussion on the matter. And therefore I suggest to him that he follow the normal practice in a matter of that kind, and having read his statement, move that it be printed so that that debate may then take place, or take place at some future time.
The question is that the standing orders be suspended in order that the Minister for Air might make a statement. Those of that opinion say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. I think the ayes have it.